Well, let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line where Bucky Brooks is joining us, NFL.com. Took a look at the latest mock draft you had, Bucky. Looked at the 2.0 and the 3.0. Noticed in 2.0 you had three quarterbacks in the top 20. This one, no quarterbacks at all in the first round. What's changing from your point of view?
No, the main change is coming right out of the combine, we had an opportunity to have all the NFL evaluators look at these quarterbacks on the turf down in Indianapolis. And right after the combine, saw a flurry of quarterback activity. Saw Russell Wilson traded, saw a handful of other trades and moves. It signaled that maybe the National Football League was not as high on the 2022 quarterback class as maybe we are on the media side. And so just in looking at that and maybe assessing that maybe they're not as high, maybe there isn't a quarterback that gets taken in the first round. Look, we haven't seen that since 1996 with Tony Banks being the first one taken that year in the second round. But maybe. We'll see.
Bucky, we love what you do, and we stop looking at the stiff that we know named Lance Zierlein because we pay more attention to what you do. I'm curious your take on just what the Texans sitting at 3-13. I've said it to me, it looks like because of what you were talking about with the lack of excitement over quarterbacks in the draft, which normally drives a lot of activity, that 13 might be the more attractive pick that teams are going to be wanting to try and acquire from the Texans simply because there is a surplus of wide receivers and teams might be, we know the Chiefs, Packers, and maybe other teams, maybe trying to move up. Do you think that 13 is going to be more of an attractive pick that teams might be going after than, say, in other years where 3 would be one that a lot of teams would covet?
Yeah, I don't know. Normally, man, what drives the quarterback market, what drives the trade market of quarterbacks. And because there's kind of like a ho-hum feel about the quarterbacks, I don't know if anything is going to really move the needle when it comes to that. The other thing that we've seen the last few years, the last Super Bowl champions, they made blockbuster trades. They didn't really worry about draft picks and those things. And so you're kind of having a changing philosophy when it comes to that. That I don't know if people value the draft picks as much as they used to. And so I don't know if we're going to see a flurry of activity. So I can't really say that the Texans are going to be able to auction off any one of those picks. I think it ultimately comes down to, is there a surprise player that is kind of out there at 13 that people didn't expect? Did Kayvon Thibodeau unexpectedly fall out the top 10 and he's sitting there? Did Ike Kwanu or something pop up where he's not there? I think it would have to be something in that kind of circumstance to lead to the market because it certainly won't be one of the quarterbacks driving.
Bucky, I think one observation when you look at this year's draft and how it makes it pretty unique, Bucky Brooks on our HRMP guest line, is the fact that maybe the best players relative to their position aren't normally positions that are taken in the top three. Like Kyle Hamilton, maybe he's the best player relative to his position in this draft, but he's a safety. Sauce Gardner, best player relative to his draft, but is a corner. Icky, you mentioned, maybe more of a guard than a tackle at the NFL, at least in the first couple of years. If you're sitting there at number three, how much are you considering the fact where maybe this is the best player, even though it's an unconventional position, and how willing would you be to pull the trigger on that?
Well, I mean, I think what you have to do is you got to grade the player for the player. I think you can't go wrong if you take great players. And I think sometimes people put too much into, quote-unquote, positional value. I just know if you get a bunch of blue-chip players, your team eventually becomes a blue-chip squad. And so I think if you're Nick Rosario and all those guys there in the front office, you got to make sure that you evaluate the draft prospects. And you see, okay, who is a guy that can be a dominant player, a player that can be a top five player early in his career? Because that's what the standard is when you take someone high like that. They need to be an immediate different player, someone who can be all pro caliber immediately, fairly quickly in their career. And so, yeah, I think you worry about players more so than positions. You would like it to fall into the quarterback, pass rusher, offensive tackle class, but ultimately you want to make sure you get a star player.
Bucky, can you give us a name or two going both directions right now as we get closer to the draft, a name or two that might be on the rise based on their pro days and their workouts that maybe that in the early mocks were kind of mid to late first rounders that are kind of ascending upward. And then maybe a couple of guys, you mentioned one that we've seen fall a little bit in Kayvon Thibodeau. But do you think that there's a chance that a Thibodeau slides or because of where they had projected him initially being drafted, that a Hamilton would slide? Give us a couple names to keep an eye on.
No, I mean, I think the fastest rise with a name that is kind of all over the place when it comes to mock drafts or whatever is Trayvon Walker from Georgia. And part of the reason is because his production doesn't necessarily match the tools that we saw at the combine. And so people are fascinated by, man, if I just get this guy, I can make so much more out of him. He has position flexibility and can play inside out, so I can do a bunch of different things. So there's an intrigue about him. I would say that the guy in the other direction we mentioned it is Kayvon Thibodeau, because in Kayvon Thibodeau, like, you know, like sometimes we need a hot name, we need a hot name too soon, we need a hot name as a freshman. It's hard to sustain that momentum, right? Because everyone kind of picks and pokes holes in your game. But for him, this is a guy that is an outstanding talent. He's flashed. But you just wonder, can he consistently dominate the game to the level? He is very similar, not in playing style, but similar to leading you on more like David Clowney did. And so because of that, there's people that are like hot and cold on him. But I think he's a really good player.
I wanted to ask you about him a little bit more, because looking at your latest mock, and of course us being in Houston, everybody immediately is going to look at number three, where Thibodeau, you have him, and it, again, he has fluctuated a lot. When you look, you know, base where he was at the middle of the year, where he was a bona fide number one pick, the slam dunk number one spot, and then you've seen him all over the place recently, and then Drake London. You kind of mentioned what you like about Thibodeau. What else do you like? What else would you be concerned about with Thibodeau? And then what do you like about Drake London as a prospect, the receiver out of USC?
I think the thing for Thibodeau, like, people are just trying to figure out, like, which one is going to show up.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to be the dominant player that shows up each and every week? I think the comparison to Jadeveon Clowney, not in terms of playing style, but in terms of feel, like, what's the feeling you got when Jadeveon Clowney is there? Like, he flashes, but man, you always kind of want more. I think that's the feeling that you get with him. You don't see him dominate consistently, but when he decides to turn it on, he can dominate and put up big numbers. And so that's why you can't discount or dismiss him. In terms of Drake London, Drake London is a basketball player. He's 6'6", 6'7", big, long, physical on the perimeter, does a great job in 50-50 balls. If you think about the red zone option, he gives you all of that. He can put the ball in the paint. There's always a value for guys that can support touchdowns.
Bucky, I'm curious, just kind of turning the page a little bit, but getting a national perspective on a local situation that just basically we've been dealing with forever. We've been going back and forth hearing a lot of people question, did the Texans get enough from Deshaun Watson? I'm curious from your standpoint. We saw what Russ went for. We saw other moves made around the league and the value of a quarterback. What was your takeaway from what the Texans were able to do in the move for Deshaun?
I mean, like, you kind of jammed in terms of, like, however this stuff played out, like, one before the civil suits and then after the civil suits, like, it was a lot. It's a lot to consider. And because there hasn't been any punishment meted, it's kind of hard to figure out what you're going to give up for a player that you don't know when he's going to get on the field. And I think every quarterback situation is different. Like, you can't necessarily compare Russell to Deshaun because Russell is older, but then you say maybe the quote-unquote character might come away clean and depending on how the outcome of the case is. Turns out. And so I think what Cavalier did is did the best he can. He was able to get first-round picks and some other stuff, and then you just kind of go. But the toughest thing that the Texans now have to do is they got to turn those picks into players, because whether we like them or not, Deshaun Watson was a player, and we saw how he played. He was an ascending player who probably was a top-five quarterback the last time we saw him on the field. And so now they got to figure out, can they find someone that can do that same thing? That ain't an easy deal.
Bucky, great stuff. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Really enjoy your work, and look forward to the next mock draft. I'm assuming you have one more, maybe two more coming up before the draft?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple more mock drafts coming. But I would tell you this, like, because guys like to base stuff off mocks. Mocks are fun exercises.
Yeah.
But they're not like reasons. You really want to know what I think about players? It's more top five lists and stuff like that.
Yeah, the big boards. I agree with you there. Bucky, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Yep, later.
That's Bucky Brooks of NFL.com hanging out with the Killer Bees.